Well, a couple of stories of the past week we've been following. They're predicting the largest dead zone in the Gulf of Mexico, caused primarily because of flooding from the Mississippi River. So that's a serious problem. Americans in a recent survey say that they support offshore drilling, even in light of the BP oil spill, that disaster of some time ago. And up next, Dr. Robin Falkov joins us as she talks about the Gulf oil disaster on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Dr. Robin Falkov has practiced homeopathy for more than 25 years, a licensed doctor of Oriental medicine, fully trained in traditional Chinese and herbal medicine as well. Her comprehensive consultations include nutritional therapies, diet, lifestyle review. She's very, very good. I have witnessed some of the things that she has done for some people with remarkable results. Here she is back on Coast to Coast. Robin, how are you?
Oh, George, I am great. Thank you so much for getting the attention to this issue of the people in the Gulf who suffered so much.
Well, I know this is very dear to you, Robin, and tell me, I mean, you live out in Albuquerque. You have lived on the East Coast. Tell me the interest in the Gulf of Mexico for you.
Well, the absolute outrage watching the news when April 20th, we had this insanity take place with the oil spewing everywhere and nothing was being done. So you figure, okay, well, they're going to start next week or they're going to start 2 weeks later. And it just went on and on. And that the inaction was what was so blatantly upsetting, that nothing was done. And all the efforts of the people, local people along the coast, to set up their own boom lines, to try to do cleanup. You had Kevin Costner volunteering with technology he had. You had the refusal to use Oppenheimer's accepted remediation that's part of some states' bylaws for cleaning up oil with microbes. You had nothing, you know, nothing. And it made me very upset, very concerned, and I even went to the region. I drove there from New Mexico, interviewed people, collected my own water sample, so it was my hands knowing exactly that I was getting this water from the ocean. And the consensus of opinion from those who weren't afraid to talk, you have to realize from April 20th to June, BP was already trying to buy people off, trying to convince a lot of these small fishermen that they should take a settlement and then they lose their right to any further claims. So some of those people were very, you know, reluctant. They didn't want to say anything. And then others, and I'm only repeating hearsay, George, I'm not making claims myself. Others told me, well, yeah, what do you think happens when you get, you know, BP coming here? They don't care. All they did is pay everybody off and do whatever they wanted. They don't follow the rules.
Well, and when you're in trouble, Robin, when you have your back against the wall and someone's waving a check at you, most people, I would guess, would take the money.
Yes, and it has become so much worse now. It breaks my heart because the people have been without work, the fishermen, those with a conscience, with a sense of responsibility, they're not fishing. They're not going to be selling that contaminated fish, even though some others are. And yet, you know, here they can get maybe $5,000 so they can move, forget their homes. You can't sell the homes in the area. You can't get your money back on that. But they might have a chance to maybe go somewhere. So it's very challenging. It's very cruel. And interestingly enough, when I was taking the training from Acupuncturists Without Borders, because they go all around the world to help out, we had different, let me leave it as state officials speaking, and we had a nice conversation going. And when I brought up the fact that, well, what about the people of the Gulf? You know, how come nothing has been done to at least set up temporary facilities for them? And all of a sudden, this kind of nice person turns on me and says, what are you, a commie pinko?
Next hour, by the way, Dr. Falkov will bring us two individuals who have been directly affected by this situation out there in the Gulf. As of today now, Robin, many months later, where does it stand out there in the Gulf? I mean, is it back to normal? What's happening out there?
Oh, my, George. No, it's not back to normal. And we have people like our coming guest, Denise Rednauer, to thank for her commitment staying there, going out on the beach in Long Beach, Mississippi, photographing the oil, photographing the clean sand that magically appears to cover it up, photographing those carpets of dead sea life that just covered the beach.
Oh.
You know, all of these horrors, but they have not gone away, and the cleanup hasn't taken place. So we are looking at an ongoing problem. When I heard one of your earlier shows and someone was talking about the fact, or a fisherman was on, talking about the fact that a month ago they discovered contaminated shellfish, or no, it was fish that had spots on them.
Mm-hmm.
These reports have been out there. There have been pictures taken by the local crabbers. I mean, they said, what can we do? The bodies are riddled with parasites, and you see the sheen of oil on their bodies. And then we have a story that came out about the U.S. military, which absolutely horrified me. You know, it was the U.S. military was serving up seafood to give Gulf of Mexico businesses a boost, and this was being sold, 10 different products, to 72 base commissaries along the East Coast. And that was from Milt Ackerman, the president of Military Solutions, Incorporated. And to me, I was absolutely horrified. This was in February of this year, and I just couldn't understand how can they do that to our own enlisted people.
There is a noticeable reduction in fish harvests down in that area, isn't there?
Yeah, there are so many people who have refused to purchase the seafood from there. They're concerned, and it's I'm grateful that the light bulb has gone on for so many.
Robin, when you were down there, did you feel like you were in jeopardy? Did you feel as if you were in an area that you had to get out of once you were there?
Somewhat. The tide was turning then towards reporters, and I had my press information, and I think I my timing was very good when I left, because that was when they started harassing people who were taking pictures.
Yeah.
And we were photographing and interviewing people, and it was not comfortable. What was also not comfortable was knowing that where I chose to get my water samples in Gulfport, Mississippi, you know, downwater from Louisiana, an area where it was between the Florida Panhandle, where at that time you had the dolphins washing up dead. You know, there was oil, you know, on the water, even with the Corexit spraying, they were still seeing these blobs of oil. So there was the concern, are they going to be spraying? I was there midday. They weren't doing that midday. They do that early in the morning when people, you know, are hopefully asleep. And it was not a comfortable feeling. The people were frightened. It was not a good feeling to be there at all.
Well, you know, I'm glad we're doing this show at this point, because I just have a feeling that most people who do not live in the Louisiana, Mississippi area, around that region, New Orleans and all those spots, most people that aren't in that area have forgotten about this, haven't they?
They have, and I talk to everybody. I talk to people when I'm calling for tech support, from my bank, when I'm standing in line. I practice what I preach to my audience, George, and I talk to everyone because I want to know, what do you think happened to the Gulf? You know, do you think that problem went away? Do you think there's still a danger being in that area? And I'd say that there's a tide turning where more people know that, well, no, it's they're fixing things there, I guess, but I still don't want to eat the seafood. But the extent of the illnesses is something that is not really known.
Let's go back. Let's review a little bit, Robin. We, of course, spent the hours and hours with the Captain Kelly Sweeney as he was giving us reports on the spill. Let's go back to that moment of that horrible day when there was the spill, the explosion, and everything just fell apart out there. What happened? What did they do to try to stop this? Anything at that time?
Well, you know, they were trying to put essentially a big stopper in the well to contain it, to stop the oil from spewing out. And the question was so clear, why were they drilling in the Macondo region? You know, why were they in an area where it was highly dangerous and explosive when the methane content of the oil was almost 50%?
That's so huge.
Yeah. You know, the risk factor was so great, so it wasn't a surprise as we all became more educated. But at the time, it was just this overwhelming horror, and everything they did was not working. And yet they were trying to stop up the oil from spewing all over, but they were not allowing the cleanup along the coastline. And what's even worse, George, the workers that BP paid to do minimal cleanup, like get rid of all the dead bodies on the beaches, they were not allowed to wear hazmat suits or even masks.
Why not?
Because then people would think there was a real problem.
Aha, an image thing.
Yes, most definitely.
Oil in its state, just the oil alone, other than the environmental mess it would have been, and truly an environmental mess, it's not dangerous by itself, is it?
Oh, it most definitely is. You can look at statistics on acute myeloid leukemia for workers on oil rigs, and it's the exposure to benzene, which is very, very difficult to remove from the body, and they wind up developing, if not acute myeloid leukemia, there are many other leukemias and other health challenges. I've had people writing to me from all over the world because I've been covering this, and talking with the people, getting them on my show, and the feedback has been incredible from people who are sick just from the oil itself.
Okay, yeah, that's my point. So you can get sick just from the oil.
Yes, most definitely. You have toluene, xylene. I mean, there's a whole range of dangerous toxic chemicals that are present in oil, and when you have an area where it's very warm, very humid, and these fumes are rising off the ocean, and they're in that layer of humidity that's sitting over people, and they breathe it, sleep in it, can't escape it.
Did they scrape away a lot of the oil-laden sand that hit the beaches, or did they just cover them up?
Well, George, you always know what's going on. They had crews come in and pour lovely white sand on top of the oil-stained sand.
Why'd they do that?
Well, it was cheaper. Uh-huh. You know, if they have to clean it up, then they have to remove it and do something with it.
Sure.
They just poured sand on it, and you had some very clever people that realized they could use ultraviolet light, those little wands, I have one of them, and they went on the beach and the areas where there was heavy oil, because you know, all beaches, oil washes up. But where there was heavy oil, it would change color to this yellowish glow. And they could see these big areas where, you know, you have clean sand that's on top, and you dig a little bit, and all this stuff is below.
Tell me about CoreXit. What is it? What did they use it for?
CoreXit, there were two forms, the 9500 and the original 9527, which was banned in the UK and other countries because of its toxicity.
Ah.
It's a cosmetic cover-up, and that means that what the function that they were using it for to achieve was breaking up those big sheets of oil on the surface into microglobules, which would then drop down to the seafloor. They didn't go away. It wasn't remediated, but it was out of sight, and they hoped out of mind. And then you have many other people who were saying, well, gosh, if we can't measure it, well, you know, how is BP going to be charged for the amount that it's polluted? So there are material safety data sheets that are available that clearly outline the toxicity, the risk for inhalation of the vapors, and you got to keep in mind this stuff was sprayed by plane over areas.
Yeah, that's right.
you know, getting on the skin, the damage to the skin. If you go into more detailed medical analyses, you can find out that the Corexit itself has an effect for defatting the skin, you know, the layers of fat underneath the skin. Mm-hmm. And you have so many reports of people with chronic ulceration of their skin. These sores don't heal. And what do the doctors in the area tell them? Oh, you've got psoriasis.
Jeez. The use of Corexit, could they have used something else?
They could have used the bioremediation that was written into the bylaws of different states to clean up oil. You know, those are the oil-eating microbes. And that was found to occur naturally by Oppenheimer's research because there are natural fissures that occur in the seafloor, and those microbes occur when the oil is coming up. They eat up the oil and they go away. But I never heard a really good answer. Oh, the one of the answers was that it would deoxygenate the coastline. We already have that.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, what are some of the symptoms, Robin, exposure to that chemical, Corexit?
Okay, well, it's what you would expect to encounter with something that is in the air that you're breathing. You know, the initial burning eyes, sore throat, bloody nose, burning of your skin, headaches that last an unusual length of time. The eyes can run. You can cough up large amounts of mucus. Your body's trying to protect itself with the mucus to surround that inflammation and those chemicals and expel it. But all of that intense excessive coughing can progress to bronchial and lung infections and damage, which Denise will tell you about. There's confusion, difficulty thinking, difficulty with coordination. You can see that some of the people that have stayed in the area, not having any relief, they stagger when they walk. Bleeding from the nose, the rectum, internal bleeding, this bleeding from bodily orifices was observed in the dolphins. They washed up on shore with blood from their mouths and other openings. It's the rashes that I described, open sores, ulceration, and when you get to Paul Doom, I mean, you'll hear about the lesions on his brain, and as I was saying with Denise has pleurisy, severe bronchial infections, the internal bleeding, and these are two people of thousands.
Jeez. And do we know, because this is relatively young in terms of these cases, we really don't know how prolonged it is, do we?
No, we don't, George. That's why when there have been comments made about, oh my gosh, what will we be seeing from the radiation fallout from Fukushima in 5 or 10 years, it's, okay, we've got that to consider, but look at what we're seeing in less than a year from the Gulf.
Absolutely. Robin, would you give out your website? Because I know you always have pertinent information on it.
Okay, thank you. It's healthfreedomrights.com, and I have all of this information there about the symptoms and signs and about Corexit, about blood tests. It's all there, but please scroll down the page and get to it all.
Somebody in St. Louis, somebody in California, somebody in New York, somebody in Wichita, somebody in Chicago listening to the program right now might be saying, well, Dr. Falcoff, what's the Gulf oil spill? It's over with, and how's that going to affect me? What do you tell them?
I tell them if you want to check the history of DDT that was found everywhere, all over the planet, just bear in mind that the wind stream, the jet stream, carries things all around this planet. And these toxins from the Gulf, from other contaminants, but from the Gulf, you're getting it blowing around the planet. You're getting it in people who are still purchasing the seafood and eating it. That's how it affects them. I mean, much of this has gone into pet food for cats. You know, they have to find a market.
Well, that's true. And let me tell you, I love shrimp, and I want to find out where it's coming from when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. Well, one of my personal missions to get you to become a Coast Insider for less than 25 cents a day as part of your supplement of listening to the program. Simply go to coasttocoastam.com and you can sign up and get all those benefits. Don't forget, back in July now, second Tuesday, we'll have our video chat when I'm in Los Angeles. When I come back, more with Dr. Robin Falca as we talk about the Gulf oil disaster. Next hour, she's bringing us two special guests who have been directly affected by this situation as well. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Robin, before we get into some of my favorite little appetizers, shrimp cocktail, tell me about Corexit again. You've got some more data on that.
Yeah, it's been out there. Everyone could have looked up the material safety data sheet because by law that has to be published, and there are emergency numbers to call in case anybody has been poisoned by it, which I find to be tragic reading all of that. But basically, it is rated as, the warning from the emergency overview is that the primary routes of exposure are the eyes and skin. The human health hazards are acute. Okay? Acute is serious. Eye contact may cause irritation with prolonged contact. Skin contact may cause irritation with prolonged contact. Ingestion, not a likely route of exposure, can cause chemical pneumonia if aspirated into the lungs following ingestion. So you look at that and you think of the people eating it in the seafood and breathing it, drinking it in their water in the area. Then by inhalation, repeated or prolonged exposure may irritate the respiratory tract. And I've gone over the symptoms previously, and everybody knows irritation, inflammation, wheezing, coughing, bringing up music, mucus, runny eyes, runny nose. And the first aid measures are to immediately flush your eyes with plenty of water for at least 15 minutes. If symptoms develop, seek medical advice. I mean, this stuff makes me so angry, George.
Oh.
Wash your skin immediately with soap and water. Remove to fresh air and treat symptomatically. Now, if that doesn't break your heart, where is there fresh air for these people to go?
Unbelievable.
You know, and it goes on and on with personal precautions and how to clean up and the right kind of suiting and the right kind of care and handle with adequate ventilation. It's inexcusable, and it's known to be dangerous, banned in other countries, and yet how did they get away with using it here?
Well, I am convinced, Robin, that governments cannot take care of a catastrophe. And we've seen what happened with Katrina. We've seen what happened to the Gulf spill. We've seen what happened in Japan with Fukushima. They cannot handle a disaster. God help this planet if something big happens, like an asteroid or something of a horrendous magnitude, because countries are incapable of taking care of their people.
I agree with you all too much, George, and I always urge my audience to keep in mind, we are all we have. You know, we share this planet together, and the time has come to not be suckered into all of this divide and conquer nonsense that turns us against each other because somebody thinks their religion is better or their skin color. I mean, the bottom line is we're all connected. We're all here, and if we all work together, and if we recognize that, then they can't pull this stunt or every other stunt that's across the board because people won't buy into it. They have support. So many are afraid, George, to stand up and speak out against it. But I want people to know that there are others that will be right there alongside of you. And that's how we make this change. That's how we get our planet back. That's how we get our country back, by all joining together. And, you know, we've seen what has happened in the United States with the tornadoes. And you hear the mayor of Birmingham stating how wonderful it was that everyone just reached out to each other. It didn't matter who they were. All people saw was somebody in need. And that's what it is. And we all need each other.
Yep. People helping people.
Yeah.
That's the only way this is going to get done. Okay, One of my favorite delicacies, my shrimp cocktail. Love it as an appetizer. I eat it in Los Angeles, eat them in St. Louis, my favorite little restaurants. They always have it available for me. Where's it coming from? You know, I've talked to them before. You know, they buy them from reputable seafood companies. I don't think they know where they're coming from. I think they're coming from the Gulf, Robin. What do you hear?
I hear that it is very difficult to ascertain where things are coming from because, as we know, when it comes to making money, people will lie and misrepresent. Now, there's shellfish, crab, and shrimp that comes from Vietnam and from China. It is not supposed to be a good choice because the conditions with farm raising these things are very contaminated. They're given antibiotics. It's not cleanly done. There are shrimp that come from northern areas, which are supposed to be better if you can ascertain that that is where they're from. I heard about something new in Arizona. They have shrimp farming in tanks.
I didn't know that.
I was amazed. I mean, you know, I explore and try to come up with answers for people that ask me the same question that you do, and it sounds like that might be a viable option because they're doing it responsibly, if one can believe that.
I thought it was coming from the Bubba Gump Shrimp Company.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's where it seems like it might be, but we have to encourage the other areas where it is safer and better quality, even if the prices are higher. And what really breaks my heart is that now you hear stories of these people in the Gulf, the natives, that don't have money, can't afford anything, and out of desperation, they know the seafood is contaminated and they have no options. They wind up eating it.
Okay, let's talk about that for a moment. If you eat contaminated shrimp and you don't know it, what will happen to you?
Well, you can, oh gosh, there's so many stories that I have covered. You can have gastrointestinal upset, a lot of the symptoms that were discussed with your guest previously. You can have, depends how contaminated it is, it can actually ulcerate. That means eat through the mucous membrane lining your digestive tract and create problems, which has happened for people eating the crab meat. So you can have bleeding internally. You would see that blood is passed when going to the bathroom. There might be, as I said, I didn't explain about petechial hemorrhaging, which we'll hear more about from Denise. And petechial hemorrhages are little tiny hemorrhages that appear. They can be tiny spots or larger blood spots under the skin because of capillary fragility from these toxins that they break, and the blood is seeping into the area. The poison spreads through the body, and somebody might have a healthy constitution, George, and be fine, and then someone else with a health challenge or getting over a cold, or maybe they were just vaccinated and their immune system is down, you know, they can have a severe reaction much more quickly.
Jeez. What about local doctors? What are they doing in that region right now?
Oh, local doctors have been harassed, as has taken place in the Northeast with the Lyme physicians. And I recommend an outstanding documentary, Under Our Skin, that shows just what happened. Doctors being forced to retire, losing their medical licenses so they can't practice because they were not following the guidelines for 7 to 15 days of antibiotic therapy because they recognized that there were other treatments necessary and they had to take place for a long time. And this is what's happening with people in the Gulf. They are being written off just like our military was written off when they had Gulf War syndrome. The people in the Gulf are being told, it's all in your mind. You're imagining this. It's the stress. You know, you have a psychiatric condition, and we will give you medication for this so you can be comfortable, but they don't get the diagnosis. And to get the blood tests that show the levels of polyaromatic hydrocarbons in their blood, it is very difficult to get that testing done, and it's very expensive.
So the doctors are going nuts. The hospitals, I'm sure, went nuts.
Yeah.
What are people doing to put their lives back together again?
Well, they're trying to organize, and that's something that Denise will fill you in on. They're trying to get together, and they're trying to get bills passed, and the bill for banning disperse and CurExit was defeated. That stuff exasperates me when I hear that the Senate defeated this bill. They want to make it legal to continue using a toxic substance. But you have people in the region coming together. You have some companies stepping forward. I have to say Medical Devices has donated for Denise and Paul LED units. There are other companies that are talking about making air treatment systems available. I'd love to see, air treatment systems available for some of these centers, and they need more of these centers so people can have a place where it is clean. It's safe to breathe the air, and if they stay there 4 hours, 6 hours, at least it's that amount of time, they're not in the toxic soup.
So why can't we switch to some kind of alternative energy source? We know it's out there. We know it's available. We've interviewed enough people who've come up with some dramatic things, whether it's John Searle or people who know about Brown's gas. They just understand this stuff. Why don't we do that, Robin?
Well, the resistance is extreme. You have John Hutchison, who's been in the Gulf with Nancy Lazarian for months. You have so many that have come forward to help, and they are refused. They've been there working privately, and it has to be privately. Otherwise, if it's on public land, they're harassed. So it makes everyone question that statement that you brought up to me many years ago, the first time I was on coast with you, George, and you asked me, when we were talking about Codex, do I think this is a genocide agenda?
Mm-hmm.
What are we left to look at when there's such widespread death from toxins from the Gulf, from oil, from fracking for natural gas? People are sick and poisoned the same exact way. We're looking at radiation damage from Fukushima. We can only pray for Nebraska that stays contained at the level where it is, and the
right.
Many areas around this country. I mean, did you know about the blowout that took place in Texas City, Texas, on April 6, 2010, and it lasted for 40 days from a BP facility where 538,000 pounds of chemicals escaped from the refinery into the air of the region?
And didn't they also have workers killed back about 6-7 years ago?
Yes, they did. They had an explosion killing 15 workers.
But it doesn't get reported outside of the region.
I know. How do we fix it?
Well, one of the things we can do on this program, because it's so widespread, is to keep bombarding it, and hopefully some of the other mainstream folks will pick up on it and do something about it. I mean, that's happened to some of the stories we've covered. Not enough. But, we have to just keep doing it. Now, as a doctor of homeopathy, what do you recommend that people do naturally to keep their systems clean and their immune system strong?
Well, that was why I made my remedy from the actual seawater, so that resonance, that matching up of the contaminants with the contaminants in the body would be there with substances in the formula that act for pulling the toxins out and eliminating them from the body, which is very important. With any detox, you have to make sure that it is eliminated. So the first thing I recommend, which is why this is so difficult, you have to get a break. The body has to get a break and be out of the area. You have to have clean drinking water, a water treatment system, good quality food, fresh as possible, more raw food, your leafy greens, your berries, not hormone and antibiotic free dairy products and meat and poultry products. You want to start with your basic foundation with simple exercise, There are simple supplements to strengthen your body on a cellular level, and one that I can speak about, which is safe for almost everyone, but you do have to check with your physician if you're on medication, if you have a health condition, to make sure it's safe for you, vitamin C. You know, vitamin C strengthens the membrane of each cell. Those are, you know, phospholipids, a fatty membrane that makes up the cell, and the vitamin C makes it stronger so it cannot be broken into by all of these toxins.
Robin, you stepped in. I've seen what you've done. You stepped in and helped a 70-year-old friend of mine who was in pretty bad shape, and we're not going to give her name out on the air, but you did a remarkable job helping and advising her. You have to look at every case individually, but in terms of what you've just said, a blanket thing for people, it's pretty smart stuff just to be able to take care of yourself, isn't it?
Most definitely. And you know what's so interesting, George? It's really common sense.
That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
You have a special guest coming in next hour. We have two people, but the first one is a fellow by the name of Paul Doom. Is that his real name, by the way?
Yes, it is his real name. And with everything that I've learned, it's like, Paul, I wish you could change your name.
But I mean, this poor guy has had a lot happen to him. We'll talk to him about this when we come back in a moment, Robin. Now, as you look at all this, are you going to go back to the golf? Is your mission complete? What are you going to do?
I don't see myself going back there. It you know, it's something that could be possible if there would be a lot that I could accomplish by being there. I've tried to give the people of the Gulf a voice, to give them radio coverage on my show. Many people have heard Denise speaking since last year. I've had Paul and many other people talking about what they are going through, because, George, I rack my brain about making it personal. So if I can accomplish more good by going back there, then I'd do it.
Well, and you do a good job doing that as well. As we connect the dots, we've looked at, as you said, the Gulf oil disaster, Fukushima, all this other kinds of mess happening all over the place. Are you convinced that there's anybody in government out there who actually wants to step up to the plate and fix this mess? You see anybody out there?
Oh, gosh. I have to do some more research about Senator White. I don't know where exactly he is, but there was an interview about Lyme disease, and he would not accept the representative for one of the medical organizations that was just giving a runaround, and he kept after the guy and saying, you're evading the questions, you're evading the questions, what do people do? What you're telling us is useless. So I want to contact this man and see maybe we can get him, you know, in other areas, but I have not seen anybody step up, and not maybe there are, and please, if there are, I ask that the audience let me know, you know, but it's up to the audience, because we're the people. We can make our demands known and turn this around. Miracles happen. It's just amazing what can be achieved when everybody has a united state of mind to achieve a goal and bring back the world we had, George.
Well, you know what, when I think of these tragedies, some of which where people just die, tornadoes, earthquakes, they wake up in the morning, Robin, they're ready to take on the day, and they're dead. I mean, I just can't think of anything more horrible.
I agree with you, and as you said, you wake up in the morning, and who knows? And it's happened so close to home for you in Missouri, and I mean, so many people around the world are telling me of the crazy situations. So it's up to everyone to look further into things like weather manipulation, the bills that are out there about weather modification. I mean, there are so many areas that have.
Yeah, it's everywhere, Robin. It's everywhere. Up next, two special guests join Dr. Falkov. We'll be back.